Well, thank you for joining us and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. You know, this is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're showing off your Bigfoot calls of the kids' talent show, we'll be caching in the Northwest. And you know, we can't do that till we bring in our Giga Gorilla. Some say he could drive a rally car at the age of five. And others say there's a petition to change Leap Day to Land Monkey Day. And that's why he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, guys. Great to be here live with everybody. We already have a comment over in the chat of asking where the stash is. Our good friend Wits End could not join us tonight. So you guys know the drill. When we miss Wits End, we send him tweets and let him know. All right. But, you know, while you guys are busy twittering away to Wits End, I want to remind you that we appreciate the support of all of our patrons who help to keep this Caching the Northwest podcast coming each and every week. If you want to know more about supporting the show, click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. This week, we are going to talk about a few different things. This is kind of two things main in the agenda, but I've got three things here that are all kind of cool and new and important, and we want to talk about them. First of all, we've got an exclusive interview with Lackey Audrey from Geocaching HQ. She is so fun to talk to. We had a great time recording an interview with her. So it's pre-recorded, but it's great. You guys will enjoy. You'll learn lots of cool stuff about hidden creatures, that hidden creatures being this summer's promotion from HQ. Chris of the Northwest and I are going to recap some of our experiences from the Giga event, share them with you guys, let you know what we thought and what we learned. And we got a special surprise piece of news. You probably already heard it if you're on the social medias, but augmented reality is coming to geocaching. We're going to talk about that a little bit too.
Say what?
Say what? Yeah, that's right. Augmented reality. So not reality, but augmented. It's like fake news.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Augmented news.
Yeah.
Yeah. News like what we do, but only better.
You got it, bro.
Or different.
Yeah. So, time to glow?
You know what? We love our glows. Do you know what those are? If you're catching us for the first time, the glow, or the geocaching log of the week, is an opportunity for us to share great logs written by fellow geocachers, because great logs makes geocaching better. This week's log is shared by one of our favorites, a listener, a friend of the show, Team Finn. And they found GC6 Whiskey 6 Quebec Delta. That's the South Sound Gong 2 Squirrel. It's a squirrel with an exclamation point. That's how you have to say it. Squirrel. And it starts out with bees. Bees seriously freak me out. When I counted five of them on the way to Ground Zero, I was excited to search for this cache. Excited as in wanting to get this over with. Sherpa Bob drove right to the search. But I didn't warn him about the swarm. Hey, that rhymed. We, mainly he, searched the prominent object with no success. The bees were still buzzing. So I bobbed and weaved and evaded the bees while Sherpa Bob searched some more. The cache was stressing me out. I forgot about the checker and looked at my personal notes. That helped the search. Buzz, buzz. Hey, I didn't belong here. Finally, I found the container, signed the log, and we got the heck out of there.
Nice. I can really relate to this. I'm okay with bees, like bumblebees and honeybees and things like that. They don't really bug me too much, but I can't stand wasps. Really, really don't like wasps. So I can relate to this log.
Yeah. You know, there was one day I dropped my wife off to do some shopping and I thought I'm going to do some caching in the area. And I had the whole, you know, day or several hours planned. And the first cache was a guardrail cache. I stuck my hand in there and got stung by a wasp, or you know, I didn't care what it was. Yeah. I was like, that's it, I'm done. You know, pulled out the stake. I figured I already got stung, I'm gonna sign the log. Because yeah. I'm not coming back to this one.
I am in the chat says, or Yellow Jackets, like on the way to GCBC. Yeah, dude, I'm with you on that one. Yeah. That was, yeah. I am, and I got nailed on that one.
Did you actually get stung?
He and I both got stung.
Yeah. Oh, you got stung on the face, right?
Yeah, that was lovely.
Yeah.
I think he got in the neck or something like that. It was not good at all for either of us.
Wow.
It was bad.
So, yeah, you know, they can ruin a day. I've found some, you know, in the lamp post skirt. You lift up and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to move slowly, take this out, drop that down. Yeah. So, Iham says he got stung in the back of the neck.
Yeah.
Turned him into a redneck.
Yeah, literally. I got it on the side of the head. That was no fun. All right. Hey, let's keep moving. We want to remind you guys about our DNF Avengers contest. And on that note, DNF Avengers, pew, pew, pew. On that note,
oh, no.
We do have a prize from a previous week, a Team Squirrel coin. And I believe it was Keepers of the Cash Flow that won, right?
Yes, it was.
They're in the chat. So you guys are listening. You're listening live. Contact me, LandMonkey, with a mailing address, and I will get this coin out to you guys.
Keepers of the Cash Flow. You get a squirrel coin.
Sorry. Nice.
I keep saying that.
It's totally themed now tonight, right? That's great.
Okay, so Keepers of the Cash Flow won a coin.
Yo.
But what about everyone else? How do they enter?
Well, you know, here's the dealio. All you have to do is share a story of an avenged DNF using hashtag DNF Avengers. Make sure you tag CashingNW at CashingNW on your tweet. Or if you're using Facebook, do the same thing. Heck, you can even email us feedback@CashingNW and we'll reshare that story. Just share that story. Make sure you use hashtag DNF Avengers and make sure you tag CashingNW in it. And, you will automatically get entered into the contest.
It's that easy. And Keepers of the Cash Flow are saying, wait, what? We won something? We never win anything. Well, you can't say that anymore.
That's right. We just screwed that up completely for you. Broke your record.
Now, everybody who has an entry is going to get a special DNF Avengers badge for your geocaching profile. No I know. Bags. Amazing.
No bags. No bags, just a badge.
Badge. It's a bad GE. No, badge. And you know, you may be selected to win one of our prizes. So head on over to landmonkey.blogspot.ca to look at those rules.
Right on. Yeah, that's currently that's the top post right now, but that's going to change probably next week. I got some more content coming, but.
Oh, I was going to say, you mean the most read or no, it's just the most recent.
The most recent, yeah, that's what I meant. Like top, like at the top of the
top feed. Of the heap,
top of the feed. Yeah. Hey, so that's the contest. The contest is going to go all summer. We've got lots of prizes to give away. So you guys keep playing. All right. Right on.
Okay, I will.
All right. So we got some audio too, right? We had a couple people call in.
You better believe we had people call in. We had so many people call in. In fact, I'm going to play just one milestone now.
Okay.
And we'll have some more next week. Let's take a listen to this.
Hi, this is Wet Coaster calling from nowhere near the Northwest, calling from Toronto, Ontario. Yesterday, while finishing off a travel bug geoart in Brantford, Ontario, the home of Wayne Gretzky, Green Words and I finished the geoart and I reached cache find number 2,222. Not a nice round number, but a repeater anyways. If it was Munsey, I'd get a badge for it. But I already have that one. Anyways, have fun and keep caching.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well, congrats, Wet Coaster. Not sure if you're listening live tonight. Because if you're still out in Ontario, it's midnight. It's after midnight your time, but... congrats on the milestone. Nice work.
I like that. I like repeating numbers. Yeah. I think they're fun.
Well, we've said before, like any cash find can be a milestone, right? It's up to the individual and what you're choosing to celebrate. And then we love it when you share with us, why you chose that particular milestone and where you're at and a little story around it. It's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
So keep calling that stuff in, guys. We love it.
Exactly. Now, as hey, Len Monkey said, oh, go ahead.
There it's better now. Your audio is really low. I can hear you now, though.
Yeah, the Googles. I think the Googles hate me. Hey, as Land Monkey said earlier, there's a lot of news right now going on in the geocaching world.
Yeah, there is.
And the hype right now is about augmented reality caches. What are those, Land Monkey? I'm not really sure I know what those are.
So let me start by reading a little bit from the geocaching HQ's FAQ on this. So right off their site, this is the content we're going to share here, and we may editorialize a little bit, but this is the content that they shared. So from June 6th, 2018 to September 6th, 2018, so 2 months, June to July, yeah. July to August, 3 months. All right. Wow. Do not ask me to do math. All
you
right.
did month math.
As long as I can do it on my fingers, I'm good. All right. 3 months. You can submit a mystery cache for review that requires the finder to use an augmented reality app to find the cache. It's an experiment to see how the geocaching community will use AR technology. Any caches published within this experiment may be archived at a later date by HQ if circumstances change. So if they decide this isn't working out the way we thought it was going to work out, sorry guys. So you are accepting the risk that your cache may only live for 3 months or a shorter period of that time. But they said at the end of this time, I already read that. Yeah, at the end of the time, HQ will decide if the published caches will either be grandfathered or archived. So it sounds like, and when they're saying that, grandfathered or archived, it sounds like your only window, if you want to participate in this, is up to September 6th. You got to get these past your reviewer by then. If you found an AR cache and you'd like to give them feedback on the experience, they've got a survey to fill out. I'll tell you what, I'm going to write a blog post about this as well. And so we'll make sure we include these links on my blog, next week, but we'll probably also throw them in the show notes.
Definitely. Now this is a mystery cache type of geocache. So to be allowed in mystery cache design, an AR app must be available on Android and iPhone. Free to download or to create an account. Allow users to upload their own AR or augmented reality overlays and allow location-based AR experiences. Example apps that currently fulfill this is the HP Reveal, the Metaverse. An example of an app that doesn't currently support these is Hollow. Hologram, right?
So there's some chat in the chat room already about this. So the first question was from Keith. He's asking if we're going to see different icons for AR caches, and the answer is no. They are only mystery caches that they're going to use, so it will actually be a mystery cache. Will be published as, and you know, then the question is, well, how do I know if mystery cache is an AR cache or not? They're actually saying that if you're going to require finders to use an AR app to find the cache, this mystery cache that you're looking to publish, the cache name must have the following format. It's going to be AR_ and then your name of the cache. So that makes sense. Lots of other great chat going on. As Brian Lang said, it is experimental. Like I said, they're going to just allow them to be published for 3 months. And at the end of the 3 months, they're going to decide whether they either grandfather them or archive them. And mm-hmm. then they'll probably do. Do you guys remember when there was a pause on challenge caches?
Oh, only too well. It's been just over a year that they've reinstated the challenge caches.
So my guess is it's going to be something like that, where they're going to allow a 3 month period for people to try this out. Then they're going to stop it, and they're going to either, at that point, they're either going to archive them all or they'll grandfather them all. And then they're going to do some processing and some thinking in the background and go, okay, what worked, what didn't work, what do we want to try different, et cetera. So, you know, definitely look for the lackeys at any mega events after this period, mm-hmm. and ask them what's going on, what they think. So
Definitely. Now, in the chat, we have GSM times two. It says, oh, goody, I can do an AR at the McDonald's where my wife and I had our first date. To which Bryling says, and this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, exactly. Do that, people.
Yeah. You know, Land Monkey, I'm going to talk about this because, well, this is what I do. Anything based on an app, apps change quickly. We're apps are pretty fluid. So I don't know if this is going to work well in the long term unless it's built into one of the geocaching apps, you know, like maybe the official geocaching app or Cachely or something else.
Yeah. If your app is fluid, then maybe you've got a bigger problem with your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you should put in a bag of rice or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Just turn that thing off. Oh, it's too late.
Seriously, though, I hear what you're saying. And I think, yeah, if these things are going to live on beyond this experimental 3-month period, there's going to have to be a way to draw that in. Now, when we talk about GigaStock a little bit later, we will talk about augmented reality because some of the lab caches, 10 of them, in fact, mm-hmm. 10 of the 30 lab caches, a third of them, were using augmented reality. We'll talk about it a little bit later, what we thought about it, but just so it is something they've already tried out with some lab caches.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, if it worked there at GigaStock, because, you know, 5,000 to 7,000 people tried it, it's got to be something going on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about that some more later, but,
did you talk about any of the specifications, what these caches actually have to have?
Yeah, let's do that. So, let's talk about waypoints. As with any mystery cache, the cache itself must have a final location that has a container and a logbook. The final location must be within 2 miles or 3.2 kilometers of the posted coordinates, as enforced by the edit page now. They've built that logic right into the page. So this is all the things that we're used to hearing for any mystery cache type. However, it also says that GPS usage is required for at least part of the search. You can set the AR experience to be location dependent to fulfill the GPS requirement. And I like that. That's the part where it's starting to sound really fun and cool to me. And I've actually had some ideas about what I could do. And I'm hopefully going to have an opportunity to partner with somebody up here and put together one of these.
Can you do one of those pirate caches, the R caches?
Yeah, exactly. Virtual and physical waypoints are both allowed, either or. AR waypoints must be outdoors. So that's a good point. I didn't think about that. An AR experience cannot require a photo that includes a face.
So oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because if for AR, and maybe if folks don't actually understand how AR works and what it looks like, basically what you're doing is you're running an app on your phone, on your smartphone, and it's using the camera on the smartphone. And basically you hold it up and either it's going to be some object or illustration that the scanner on the phone recognizes that will trigger something virtual to look like it's appearing. It's like Pokemon Go, if you're using Pokemon Go, like that, where the Pokemons all of a sudden pop up while you're actually looking at the park, and all of a sudden now there's, like, if you're looking in your in the camera of your phone, now there's a Pokemon sitting there. It's the same kind of idea. So it's using that kind of technology.
I came in so loud, I scarred a baby.
You scarred the baby?
Yeah.
For life?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Sorry, dude. Keepers of the cash flow. I'll talk more quietly and use dulcet tones like the Land Monkey does.
There you go.
I feel like I'm talking about golf. Very good. All the right. Shot is on the green. Anyway.
I can't. And I think he's just about lost his mind. All right. that's some of the stuff with the AR. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about?
You know, it's an interesting experiment. I found it interesting, at Geo Woodstock. We're going to talk about that later. Who was it? Somebody in the chat, Starcasher, said about half the people were not able to do the AR at Geo Woodstock.
I'm going to talk about that part.
So, yeah. But you know what? We'll talk about that later. We wanted to acknowledge that comment. But let's get into the interview for the hidden creatures. Well, it's a type of AR, right? Hidden things.
Well, it is. And yeah, let's hear what Audrey has to say.
Yeah. So, you know what? Audrey's going to introduce herself, so we don't have to do it.
Fun.
Here we go.
All right. Well, Audrey, it's great to be talking with you. Thank you so much for making time to talk with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
All right. Great. We're gonna talk to you a little bit about the Mythical Creatures promotion, but maybe before we get started, you can just give our listeners a little bit of insight as to who you are and what you do at HQ.
Yeah, so like you said, my name is Audrey, and I've been with Geocaching HQ for almost 3 years. I am a marketing manager here at Geocaching, and I help run promotional aspects and campaigns, as well as work on a lot of the emails that you may get, and really try to just create fun games for geocachers to participate in.
Fantastic. All right. Well, and speaking of fun games for geocachers to participate in, so Audrey, can you walk us through what the Mythical Creatures promotion is all about? And I think I've been corrected. It's not Mythical Creatures. And I think the first email must have had Mythical Creatures in it, which is why that's stuck in my head.
Yeah, we describe it as like Mythical Creatures, but it's technically it's called Hidden Creatures, but they are all Mythical Creatures.
There you go. All right. So explain for us how Hidden Creatures works.
So basically, it's built on the premise that there are 13 hidden creatures out there in the world, and it is your job as a geocacher to find them. And you can find them through June 27th to July 25th by basically just finding caches or attending events. So each creature has a different find count associated with it. And so if you hit that find count, then you earn a souvenir. So an easy example would be if you find one geocache, you earn the Bigfoot souvenir, and you find up to 100 geocaches, you get the elusive world turtle.
Nice.
The others are mixed in between.
Awesome. Okay, so yeah. Thinking about previous promotions, the question is it a friend league competition? Like, do friends compete, like in Planetary Pursuit, or is it more of a collaborative, like Mary Hyde, or is it just an individual?
So this one is individual. We are not using the friend league at all. We will actually have a new promotion page that will track your progress for earning each mythical creature. So right now you could actually go to the page. It's just www.geocaching.com/hiddencreatures. Okay. And you'll just see a countdown. But once the promotion actually starts on June 27th, then you'll be able to see how far you have to go to earn each.
Awesome. And in fact, I've seen that on my geocaching.com profile. There is a link there already for it. So that's pretty cool. Added. Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So that helps understand. Next question I have is, was there any feedback that was received from any of the previous promotions that you've done that maybe helped shape the planning for the Hidden Creatures promotion?
Definitely. I think, at the end of every single promotion, we kind of take a look back and like, what did we hear from the community and what went well, what didn't? And then for the next one, we try to incorporate those things. So for us, as we just came off of a promotion with Planetary Pursuit, we had heard that some people liked the challenge. It was a little bit harder than some of our previous campaigns. So we decided to make geocachers earn 100, like, geocaches, basically, or find 100 geocaches to be able to earn the final souvenir. For some people, that's not hard at all, and we totally understand that, but for maybe someone who's a casual geocacher or just kind of getting into the game, that might be a really big challenge. So we're trying to see kind of how far people can push themselves, or not at all. Some people, that's too easy, and that will always be too easy.
Right.
So just depends what camp you're in. But yeah, the original question of like, what do we take? So, with Mary Hyde, one example was we had learned people said it was too confusing. It was pretty hard how it changed weekly. They didn't like that it went from a group challenge to an individual challenge every week. So we were like, let's just strip this down. Let's make it pretty basic for people to understand. but make it a really fun theme that maybe people can get behind. So we incorporated that into this promotion, as well as the time frame. Typically, we actually have promotions later in the summer for us, our summer. But we have heard that in some places, in some parts of the world, it's actually just too hot to even go outside in August. So we changed it from June to July instead of July to August. So we're hoping more people are able to participate just due to actual heat. And for me, being in the Northwest, and you, like, we don't really have that problem. Right. Usually not very hot. It's pretty mild all the time. So that's definitely something to take into consideration when we are planning.
Very cool. That's so it's great to hear that you've been able to take feedback that you've got from folks and make the promotions even better each go around.
Totally, that's the goal.
Yeah, that's a very laudable goal. So you've mentioned the number of creatures to find, and you said that there's a souvenir for each creature based on the number of caches you find. I have to say, I'm curious, how did you guys decide on the final roster of creatures?
It was hard. We came up with the idea a few months ago, and we were really excited. We're like, what if we did mythical creatures or something hidden? That just seems like a really fun theme. And then we're like, okay, first, how many? Like, how many do we want to do? So originally, we were going to really emphasize different habitats that the creatures were from. Okay. And it started to get kind of confusing and just a little bit too much and too busy. So we kind of stripped that back, but still went with the same type of theme. So we decided, let's just choose three different creatures from the mountains, the desert, the sea, and the forest. And we're like, let's start there so we can easily choose creatures that represent different habitats and regions of the world. So we worked with our creative team, and we kind of were all, my Google searches for like a month. We're kind of like, mythical creatures, and I'm getting these weird mythical creature ads now all the time in my Google. So it was kind of a fun experience. But we met up with our creative team, and we just started making lists of all these different creatures. Some creatures were kind of just really out there and outlandish, and like, people might not be able to identify with that, or they wouldn't even know what it was. So it might not be as fun. So we narrowed it down, and then the artist challenge was, what do we make, like, our hardest creature turn? You know, if we make it the dragon, like, maybe we can build that storyline. And then our creative designer, Roxy, was kind of like, what about the world turtle? Which is kind of that old reference of, like, the earth is on the turtle's back, and, like, kind of having that. So we love that idea, and it's kind of elusive and really kind of a magical creature. So we're like, let's go with it. It's kind of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, that turned out well. It seems like it's right now kind of the mascot of the whole promotion is the world turtle.
Yeah, it kind of took form that way. Yeah.
Very neat. That's awesome. Okay. So how soon will we know exactly what we need to do in order to discover each of the hidden creatures?
So you can actually find it now. So if you go to that hidden creatures page, you'll see each creature is there represented, and then you'll be able to see the number associated with it. So
okay.
It'll show you how many finds you need to log or how many events you want to go to. And then you can easily start planning right now. So all of them have their numbers associated, and then once June 27th hits, you can earn them all in one day if you are very aspirational, or you can take 4 weeks and casually go about it.
Awesome. So I guess this is an important point. It's not that you need to get a certain type of cache to get a different hidden creature. It's really purely based on find counts, and events count as the find. Okay. So no trackable droppings for extra points or anything like that.
Correct. So that's another thing we did learn from the community. Some people didn't like that there were different point values for different cache types with Planetary Pursuit. And they thought, like, maybe it was skewed one way, especially if you dropped a lot of trackables, you could just rack up points. Some people didn't like that. which our intention was like, oh, cash in any way you want. So this really does go back to that theme. It's like cash however you like to and however you want to, and just have fun. And like, we really just want people to get outside and kind of have some incentive to get some new souvenirs. And souvenirs on this one are amazing. I think our designer who did them, when we brought the idea to her, she was just like, oh my gosh, you guys brought me my favorite theme. And she immediately just started sketching different creatures, and she showed us like these raw sketches, and she's like, is this kind of what we're going for? And we're like, yeah, this is perfect. These are amazing. These are more than we thought. So I think this art, we are all internally think it's like the best any art we've ever had for a summer promotion.
Wow.
So
that's
so detailed, and she just did like the best job.
That's exciting. I can't wait to see them.
Yeah. You have to earn them.
Yeah. it shouldn't be a problem for me, but yeah, that'll be fun. If there is any part of this promotion that you and your coworkers at HQ want to get feedback from the players on, what would that be, and what would be the best way for people to share that feedback?
Yes, we always want feedback. Even just from the gameplay mechanics, like, is this too easy? Is it not fun? Was it not challenging enough? Or was it not, like, too one-dimensional? We would love to hear that feedback. And you can write in. We see anyone who writes in about a promotion, we can save all of those emails and tickets so that we can reflect on them when planning for the future one. And sometimes we'll see really common themes that just spread across, and sometimes they're totally different, but people will have really good ideas on how to improve or what they would look like to see. So definitely respond to any blog posts that we post or anything on social media or Facebook. Just write in, and then we do see all of that, and you'll get a response, and then everything gets saved. So it's a really good backlog for us. Ultimately, we just want it to be fun for the community and just want people outside geocaching. So that's right. Really the only goal of this. Get outside and have some fun.
Wow. So get outside, have some fun. And that's great for us geocachers who are going to enjoy the Hidden Creatures promotion. It sounds to me, though, that there is a lot of work, not only going into the point of go live here, but it sounds from what you're saying that even during the promotion and after the promotion, you guys are really busy taking all that feedback, processing it, organizing it, looking at trends, and a lot of work.
Totally. Yeah. A lot goes into them. It might seem on the outside like, oh, it's just this fun, simple thing that's whipped up, but it's really in the work for months and months. And the different teams that this project touches within the office is kind of every team. Like right now, one of the most exciting things for us is this is the first promotion that's actually in the geocaching app. So you'll be able to track your progress within the app, and so it'll be easy within the field. And so that did take developers time to put it in there, and different elements of design work, and different stakeholders to buy in to this idea and the project. So it was a really big cross-team collaboration.
Right on.
Which doesn't seem like that probably from the outside, but the amount of people that go into this Hidden Creatures promotion has been really fun. It's fun to work with people we don't normally get to work with, and it's a fun project, I think, for other teams to collaborate on.
Very cool. Well, we're all excited to play it. So that's great. And we're very thankful for all the work that everybody there at HQ does to make the game a little more fun. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Audrey, is there anything else important around the Hidden Creatures promotion that you wanted to let people know about?
Really just get excited for June 27th. We're hoping people like seeing that they can track their progress within this. And then just look for that full-size art. I think for us, the most amazing part of it is just the amount of time and work that went into the art. They're so beautiful. And you'll be able to see it within the app, the full-size images. So that's been a really fun new feature.
So what I'm hearing is when you earn your souvenir, screen cap it and post it on social media, share it with everybody.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So Audrey, thank you so much for your time. We're really excited about this promotion. We're hoping that it goes really well for you guys. We're looking forward to playing it. And I'm very thankful for you taking the time to talk with us and our listeners about this.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, we're excited about this summer, and let us know, and we'd love to come back on the show and talk about anything coming up.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you very much, and we're now going to return everybody to Chris and Jim and Jay on the regular podcast.
Hey, that's us.
Well, that's two-thirds of us, yeah.
That's right.
I kind of hoped Witsend would be here.
Well, you know, that makes it somewhat less than a regular podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. That's, I think, most of what you need to know about Hidden Creatures Promotion. What do you think?
You know, I don't have a problem with going out to find 100 caches, you know, because...
That's a day, right?
It could be. Some people can do it in a day. You know, I've heard some complaints in the past as like, oh, all we have to do is, you know, find 6 different caches. Well, 6 caches, that's, you know, it's only one cache. We're only doing one cache a week, like in the Mary Hyde, you know, it's all you have to do. So geocaching headquarters have acknowledged sometimes it's all about the numbers.
Yeah.
Right. You kind of got that idea. In the last one, in the Planetary Pursuit.
Mm. Yeah. That one was definitely about the numbers. There was volumes of numbers you needed to do that. Or you could just drop huge amounts of your personal trackable collection into an event. So.
Right. Or cash or whatever it took.
Yeah.
But and there are different ways to play it.
Well, this is the thing. It's a tough balance, right? And so your comment you just made, there's different ways to play it. I mean, that's the whole thing with geocaching anyways. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of different ways you can score, compete, whatever you'd like. And so they've brought this gamification within the game aspect of the Friend League and these other summer promotions. I guess they're not specific to the summer, but these other promotions that they do, Mary Hyde and so far. And now this one, the Hidden Creatures. And they're trying, as you heard from Audrey, they're trying to learn as they go and try. So every promotion, they try something a little bit different. They say, okay, what was the feedback we got in the last few? Okay, let's try this. And they're going to listen. You heard her. They're going to listen to what we give as feedback from this promotion. And the next one will be different again. So I think they're trying, and you know, it's fun. It's never going to be perfect. Well, at least my expectation is it's never going to be perfect. And I just like the fact that they keep trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting. And I'm really excited about the artwork on these ones. Audrey got me really stoked about it in our conversation. So we'll see what comes out.
From the Northwest, I am a little disappointed that one find gets you Bigfoot.
Yeah. It seemed a little easy, eh?
Nobody has ever found Bigfoot. That's part of the thrill of the hunt for Bigfoot, right?
Bigfoot, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. International hide and go seek champion.
So did you have any other thoughts on that, or?
You know, Land Monkey, I can't argue with any of the things you said. I agree with you. It's different. They're keeping it fresh, making things, you know, if it was the same as the previous campaign or summer program, then we'd go, yeah, okay, so it's another one, here we go. I thought it was interesting that they listened to the people and they've moved it up June and July rather than August. You know, I mean, think about it. If you're in Scottsdale, Arizona, which, by the way, is a higher elevation than Denver. Did you ever think of that? If you're in Scottsdale and you don't want to go out in August, you know, it's 120 degrees and it's just no fun to go find 100 caches, and it could actually be dangerous. So. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're never going to come up with a promotion that makes everybody happy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been the life story of geocaching.com. You're never going to make anybody happy. Have you ever been in the forums? Yeah. So
no, I avoid the forums.
That's probably for the best.
I avoid forums pretty much everywhere, because once you give people anonymity, all restraints come off and people are not nice.
No, not with anonymity, that's for sure. So yeah, anyways, the point being, they're never going to come up with a promotion that makes everybody happy. So they're going to keep trying different stuff. And, you know, it may or may not, this promotion may or may not work out for you. But for, what is it, like almost 4 weeks, you have mm-hmm. to find 100 caches. It seems pretty doable.
Yep. And, you know, there's always a chance they'll extend it.
There's a possibility that's happened before, yeah.
Sorry, I had to throw that out there for you.
You know,
I was prodding the monkey.
Yeah, that's, I'm not gonna bite this
okay.
time.
Okay.
Anyways,
Keepers of the Cash Flow says then you have Alberta where it could be snowing by then.
In August? Yeah, it could, especially in Calgary. I think the city of Calgary has a record that they have actually had snow historically in every month of the year. So not like for 1 year, but over time.
Like in June and July and August.
Yes.
That's wacky. Why would anybody live there?
There you go. Yeah, Brylang says he's lived through snow in every month of the year in Alberta. There you go.
I'm just going to say it. That's wrong.
Interesting part of the Northwest. Yeah. Let's leave it at that.
GSM times two is correcting me. This is actually July is hotter in Scottsdale than August.
Huh. Well, there you go.
So, well, there, yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, do you want to switch gears and let's talk a little bit about our experiences at the Giga event?
I don't have a clutch.
Okay. Well, then good thing for you. This is an automatic show.
Okay. Whew. So we're done with Hidden Creatures.
Standard about this podcast.
Yeah. We're done with Hidden Creatures and we're moving on to Giga Creatures that we actually found.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, let's talk about it. First question for you, sir. What was most unexpected for you at GigaStock?
You know, I grew up in Ohio and I would always tell people, and I still will. In fact, I'm going to tell them now. It was very common in the summer to go outside and play, and it was 90 degrees, 90% humidity. There was a pond nearby our house, and I usually swam in the pond every day because, well, it didn't matter if I was in the water or out, I was wet.
Yeah.
And I found the heat, let's see, one weather reporter said the heat is oppressive. So yeah, it was pretty hot. You know, my car said it got up to 97 degrees outside and we were 80 or 90% humidity. So it was toasty.
Water boils at 100 degrees. So man, that is hot.
Oh, that's hot. Yeah. If we were talking the same temperature scale, but we're not.
It was hot. Yeah, I would agree. And I don't know why. I tend to do okay with humidity. It doesn't seem to bother me as much as it bothers other people. Everybody's different. I noticed it, but it didn't really bother me too much until the point in time when we were doing hikes and I was maybe jogging a little bit. Then I'm feeling it. So, you know, as long as, you know, during the gig event itself, just kind of walking around, hanging out, talking to people, it didn't really bother me too much. But I could see there were some people mm-hmm. that were just, it was taking a toll on them.
Yeah,
I guess that was unexpected for me, having never been to Ohio before. I didn't realize that the weather got like that there.
I didn't expect it in May.
Right.
July and August is when I, you know, remembered. But you know what? It was fine. You know, there were some hikes. We're going to talk about some of the trails that we did or the geo tours we did that involved a little bit of hiking, not great, but you know, you go from when it's 90 degrees, 90% humidity, you go from air conditioned house to air conditioned car to your air conditioned work. And that's, you know, how you do it. Now, as geocachers, we didn't have that privilege.
No, no, not at all. So yeah, there's the weather.
I think the thing for me that was most unexpected about the gig itself was that I didn't feel sandwiched in with people. There was close to 7,000 people there, I believe, at the event. I think that's the numbers I heard. And honestly, at no point in time did I ever feel like I was in and around maybe more than 300. Like, the event space was large enough. The venue for the event was large enough and well laid out enough that people were moving around all the time. And you just never felt like you were squished in, like, because that was what I was expecting when I got there. I was expecting to feel like, oh, I'm going to be cramped, squished in. I'm not going to be able to move. That was unexpected for me. It was really pleasant from that perspective.
Yes. Now, I was in and around the podcast booth most of the day, so I didn't explore that much. In the morning, I went and, you know, walked around the vendors, I think before they let the public in, and, you know, got to chat a little bit. I never made it to any of the water park or the roller coaster or rides or the amusement park side of that. I never saw that. I never went past the lunch venue as far as distance into the park. So
there you go.
You know, I didn't realize how big it was.
It's a really big venue. So that's good. And like I said, it was really well laid out. You mentioned the podcaster booth. That was kind of fun. I guess we say booth, but really for folks who weren't there, it was a very large picnic shelter. And in that shelter were a set of tables. There was one for the vloggers, that rowdy bunch. And then in the middle was the podcasters. And we had Chris, I can't remember his last name, from the Treasure.
Of the Northwest.
No, well, yes, you. But the other Chris, the director of Treasure.
Yes.
Treasure movie, he was there with us at the podcaster table.
He just had a great first name. I didn't need to go any farther. We had an immediate connection.
Yeah. So there you go. So so there was that, then so podcasters and podcasters. It was Gary from Geocache Talk, Chris and I from Caching the Northwest, Daryl from GeoGearheads, and Chris from GeoGearheads, and Sunny, Sandy, and Sean.
And Land Monkey from Land Monkey's Geocaching Adventures.
And Caching in the Northwest. So yeah, that was a really neat group of people. So yeah, we did that. And then next to us, so on the other side, there was the vloggers, there was us, and then there was the Canadian contingent. There was a group representing some geotours up in Eastern Canada, who had a table set up there, and that was kind of neat.
And beyond that was the original can of beans.
Right. I forgot that was there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was again, a Northwest original.
There you go.
Just had to throw that out there.
Absolutely. So, but yeah, I mean, it was a really large picnic shelter and I could not believe the volume of people coming through.
Mm-hmm.
We were just, yeah, we handed out a lot of draw tickets.
Yes, we did. You know, the drawing, if I'm going to pass this along, this was a brilliant idea. I think it was Daryl's. I'm not exactly sure who came up with it. Let's give Daryl the credit.
Yeah, it was either Sandy or Daryl, but yeah.
We had tickets, you know, your normal, you know, two-part drawing tickets, raffle tickets, whatever you want to call them. And we handed the people both sides of that ticket and said, when you come back, then you tear that ticket in half and drop it in the drawing. That way we know you're here and we're not reading off 17 numbers of, you know, people who didn't come back or didn't make it or, you know, forgot. Right. And that worked really well. I think we had one person that may have dropped both halves of the ticket in because we had a duplicate called once. But other than that, everybody we called was there and they came up and picked up their prize. It went really smooth.
Except for when the thunderstorm opened up during the draw. That
okay. Was... the 11 o'clock draw was smooth. Everything went well. At 3 o'clock, it started to rain and everybody pushed in underneath that shelter. And I tell you, you get
Jerry's talking about in the chat there.
Yeah. You get everybody that crushed in underneath there. And I'm in the middle trying to move back and forth. And it's like, I'm not getting any air. This is really tight in here. So
it was squishy during the draws for sure. But then everybody would just disappear again, right? Once the prizes were all given out. So, but that was fun. And yes, I got to give full credit to Daryl and Sandy and Sunny. And I think, honestly, I think it was mostly Daryl and Sandy who did most of the organizing for us podcasters. They did an amazing job. So two thumbs up for those guys. Sunny did the artwork and created the insert card that we had that went into every attendee's bag. So there was thousands of those given out. So yeah, it was really neat. So that was great. That went really well. We said we were going to talk about lab caches, so let's talk about that a little bit.
I was shocked that there were 30 lab caches.
30 lab
caches. Three series of 10.
Three series of 10. And they were each 10 were different. So there was there was 10 augmented reality caches, and we'll talk about that in a minute because I kind of thought they could have done better with that, but that's fine. It was an experiment. There was 10 gadget type lab caches. Those were great. I loved those. And then there was 10 of sort of the historical plaque, find the third word in this sign type of lab caches. And that last 10 were actually out closer to the fair venue, where the rides and the water park and everything were. So we saw that area when we walked out to do those lab caches. Yeah, the gadget caches, there was a nice variety of them. Some of them were pretty cool, and some of them looked like they were actually gadget caches that had been out in or could be out in the wild and had been brought back to serve as a lab cache for the event.
And now, I have to say, all 30 lab caches were on the fairground property.
They were. That's true.
You didn't have to drive anywhere. You could walk to all 30 of them.
Which was a bonus. Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was going to be the case or not. So let's talk AR. So here's the deal. There was a comment earlier that said it seemed to not work for half the people. Half, that's probably a guess. I did observe some people who were struggling to get it to work on their phones. The premise is you would go to a location, there'd be a piece of paper with like a weird squiggly set of marks on it. When you held your phone over that piece of paper with the AR app running on the screen of your phone, you would see a word kind of pop up in 3D, and then that's your word that you enter for the lab cache. So, the first couple of times, it's like, okay, this is cool, neat, I like it, neat idea. By the fifth, sixth time, I'm thinking, well, could we have tried something a little different? I don't know. So it just seemed very repetitive of the same idea to me. So I don't know if they were trying maybe to do different things with them, and it just, to me, it all looked the same. I'm not sure. I love the idea. I am really excited about the AR mystery caches and seeing what people actually come up with and just unleash the creativity of geocachers, and let's see what happens.
I was with a couple of geocachers, and they happen to use that same AR technology at work. And they said, you can do a lot more with this. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of options and opportunities for that for sure. So that's the AR piece. We said we'd talk about it. Geo tours.
Yes, we did several geo tours.
We did.
The biggest one probably has to be the Butler County Donut Trail.
The most well-known one for sure.
And I should have worn my shirt. I did. Daryl, Rock Chalk, and I started out. We came from three different directions, so we took three different cars. It felt like a Top Gear road trip. If you know what those are.
Yeah.
And we hit all the donut shops and the caches. Started out at 5 in the morning and we hit one of the donut shops by 8, and they were running quite low on actual donuts. I was shocked. You have to do it before noon. I mean, 11, maybe even pushing it.
Yeah, we've talked about this. I've talked about this, and I'll reiterate it. Like, the timing for the donut tour, now obviously it was worse during the week of and after the Giga, because there's geocachers, hundreds and hundreds of geocachers out doing this all the time. They're going to run out of donuts real fast. And the way these shops work, these boutique donut shops, once they run out of the supply they made that morning for that day, they're done. They shut up. They shut the store down. They don't make more for that day. That's it. So we didn't really understand that part. We had been told, Mrs. Lime Monkey and myself, by yourself, Chris of the Northwest, we'd been told by Daryl, and we had been told by Rock Talk, you should really do this early in the morning. You should really plan to do the Butler County Geo or Donut Trail Geo Tour, like first thing, super early in the morning. And we heard, try and do it early in the morning. But it didn't occur to us, like, no, you actually need to do it early in the morning. So we started hitting the places by noon based on the way that we routed out, because we were doing the other two geo tours simultaneously. And there were everything was closed. I didn't get into any of the donut stores.
That's not true.
Well, not until the next day.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I thought you did hit one.
No, we didn't get to any of them. Well, so here's the thing. So, and in fact, it wasn't even the next day. It was the day after. It was the day we headed home. Because Sunday was the day that we were doing the geo tour. It's the day right after the Giga event. And, you know, by the time we had everything's closed, fine. Monday was Memorial Day. Everything's closed. Mm. And so Tuesday morning, we were able to hit one of the donut places on our way back to Ontario. But that all said, GSM Times 2 is saying that they could only make so many donuts in a day. And I get that, but it didn't register for me when I was getting the advice. So I'm trying to help anybody who's planning to do the Butler County Donut Trail. If you're listening to this podcast, plan to do it early in the morning, and you won't be facing the donutless diet disappointment that the monkey had.
And if you hit all 16 donut shops, make sure you get your t-shirt in the next size up.
You're going to need it.
Because nothing else is going to fit.
So, yeah, that's hilarious. So that's the donut trail. Well, there's a couple of neat caches you guys had added in. So we had the benefit of Chris and Daryl sent us their routing notes for the donut trail. We took a different route, a different order of hitting them, because we added in some of the great parks and the Earth Cache locations as well. But there was one gadget cache that was part of that loop that you guys did that you told us, the one with the 9-volt, that is an amazing gadget cache. Sadly, it was broken when we got to it.
No. Oh, that was a shame.
Yeah, so the bison tube at the end of the string was sort of looped out on top of the birdhouse when we got there. Mm-hmm. But I know Daryl periscoped it. So if you search Daryl W4's Twitter account, you'll see a periscope of that gadget cache. And it was really cute. It was really neat. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Very well done. We did that. We did a virtual, and there was one other. I think it was just a highly, another highly favorited cache. And Daryl did that whole planning, so I just kind of went along for the ride. Every time we went into one of the donut shops, the owners or whoever was running there, oh, where are you from? Oh, I've had people from, you know, Germany and Czech Republic and, you know, where did it all this today? So that was a lot of fun to, you know. They were, the shop owners or the workers there were just enthralled that so many people would come through and from so far away.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for us that we missed that social aspect of it. I think I would have enjoyed the Butler County Donut Trail a lot more if I had the opportunity to engage in that. So again, I'm telling people, do it, and it's not optional. Do the tour first thing in the morning. don't wait till the afternoon.
The geocaches were just okay. Not even okay.
I mean, they were in good condition, but
they were all
fake rocks.
Fake rocks or key holders.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not like the creative fake rocks. They were like the, you know, your standard buy them online, hide a key fake rock.
We were looking for one, and some other cachers came up, and we ended up both grabbing a fake rock at the same time. Not the same fake rock. There were two.
That's funny.
At that location. And at the end, we talked to the gal and said, well, there was one location where we found two fake rocks. They had two different answers in them.
Oh, no way.
And so I wrote both down. And she goes, well, we're in the process of changing out some of the caches. So if somebody's done it before, they can't give them the answers. Oh, that makes sense.
It makes sense, but then to have them both there. Ooh,
So they had changed it. Apparently, they dropped one without picking up the other.
Whoops.
But Butler County did a great job on that. I was shocked at the end when you went to turn in your passport for the T-shirt. I mean, that was obvious. But the passport for the GeoCoin, they checked online, your online profile, to make sure that you had logged all... Is it 15 or 16 caches?
15. And you know 15. What? I got to add to that. You know, I just gave them a bit of a poo-poo on the caches themselves. But, you know, I have to give 132% props to the Butler County... it's not Parks and Rec. What do you call it? The
Tourism.
Tourism. The Butler County Tourism folks who, through the... including Memorial Day... they were in their office, manning their office during regular business hours, handing out coins to the cashers who finished the tour.
Without air conditioning in their office. It wasn't working when we went in there, and there were 20 cashers in there, and it was stuffy.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, for everything I said about the cashers themselves, to put that aside, again, do the tour in the morning. Have the fun experience of interacting with the people in the stores. Get some of the donuts. Yeah, you find a quick cache, it counts as a cache, you get your keyword, and you finish the tour, and then, but you know, I was just amazed. These people at the Butler County Tourism gave up their Memorial Day long weekend so they could sit in an unair-conditioned office and put up with geocachers all day for the entire Memorial Day long weekend. So, Super props to them.
And they planned for it. They had an extra, I think, 1,000 coins. They brought 1,000 coins in. You know, I don't know how many t-shirts. They were prepared.
They really were.
Yeah. And, you know, so there were people who had to log online. You know, if you're traveling from out of state, out of country, like the Land Monkeys, perhaps you don't have access to data. But you could sit there in the office, I believe, connect to Wi-Fi, and go ahead and log your geocaches. In fact, I missed one. Cachely had a little problem, and I thought it logged, and it didn't. So she says, oh, you've missed one. Oh, I know which one that is. Hold on, I'll go fix it. And so, you know, I would have missed a geocache find. My numbers would have been thrown off forever.
Just saw somebody pop into the show notes here. We may actually end up with another host in a few moments.
You think so?
I think so. Oh. Look at this. Look what's happening.
I can't believe what's happening.
It's the Paulwitz.
It's the mustache man.
It's the stash.
Sounds like a superhero.
What you up to?
Not just doing a podcast. What you doing? Driving in the dark?
You do that? That podcast thing?
Yeah, we still do that.
I've heard of that. Do you think it'll catch on?
No.
It might cash on.
Okay. It might.
Oh, wow, that shut him up. Sorry, I won't say that anymore.
So we were just talking about our experiences from GigaStock.
Oh, so you didn't need me at all then.
Well, we could have used you earlier when we were talking about augmented reality.
Okay. That sounds really cool, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, but I'm sure you'd have an opinion.
Oh, I have opinions.
Without a doubt.
Opinions are like armpits. Everybody has two and they all stink.
Exactly.
Huh. I thought they were like belly buttons. Everybody had one.
Something like that.
Variation on a theme. There you go. Awesome.
Well, so can I safely assume you're an after show, or are we still live?
No, we're still live.
Wow.
We are still live.
Yeah. We haven't even jumped to the after show yet.
Wow. I totally didn't expect to catch anybody still live. Well, hello, viewers out there. Is there one or two? Maybe a chat?
Possibly.
There's a lot more than one or two in the chat here. It's been a very active chat tonight. Mm-hmm. Lots of great feedback in there.
There's always some awesome chat. We have some great people in the chat.
We really do. We really do. It makes it for a much more fun show. We're going to just wrap up while you've joined us, Jim, some of our thoughts around the Geo Tours related to the Giga event. So
feel free.
So we talked about the Butler County Donut Trail at length. There was two other Geo Tours that were released in the greater Cincinnati area immediately adjacent to the Giga Stock event. It was the Great Parks Geo Tour. I think that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. And the Earth Cache 101 or Earth Caching 101 Geo Tour.
Exactly. You know, when those were released, we tried to combine the Great Parks and the Earth Cache Geo Tours into one, and that didn't work out for us. It how do I say it? We got too confused
destinations.
Yeah. And we didn't get either one done. So we had to go back the next day to finish up the Earth Cache ones.
Oh, so you did get them done, just not in one day.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say, I hope you got them done. Yeah, they're all right. I enjoyed the Great Parks Geo Tour. There was some really neat parks that it took us to, and you know, how do I want to say this? A lot of variety.
That's right. Parks,
more so than I was expecting in Ohio. So I enjoyed that. You know, obviously there are no mountains per se in that part of the world, so it's a little different than what we're used to. But it was fun.
Hey, Wits End. Can I mute you? Because I'm getting a lot of feedback.
You know, you wanted to mute me every week. Now's your chance to do it.
Wow. You'll have to unmute yourself to talk to us in the after show.
All right. So the Earth Cache Geo Tour. Now, I was excited for the first ever Earth Cache Geo Tour. Go and check that out.
Oh, yes.
So this is, you know, this is my thing. So we got a question from Stark Casher in the chat. He said he got one of the Earth Caches downtown. He's going to need to do the rest on another trip. He's asking which of the two Geo Tours are nicer.
I didn't do the entire Great Parks. I did the kitty part of the Great Park because that's apparently all the Geo Tour I'm capable of doing. No, and that was fine. That was in one of the city parks. I'm sorry, I can't recall the name of it, but there were five caches. You know, they were containers that were tied to poles or benches or, you know, really pretty much out in the open, but they were fun and easy to find for kids.
Yeah, the whole Geo Tour was actually kind of like that. All the containers for the Great Parks Geo Tour were very easy to find. And I assume that was done for the GigaStock week or weeks. And then after that, they're going to hide them a little better going forward, I would assume, because their caches aren't going to last like that. I mean, they were literally, like Chris said, they're tethered. It was like a lock and lock tethered to a park bench. Mm-hmm. Just sitting right there. Like, it's not going to last. But
I mean, you can see it walking up to it.
Yeah, it's great for the event, though.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Stark Casher's
question. Sharon Woods. Thank you. That was a very nice park.
It is a really nice park. And this is the thing. So I would say between the Earth Cache Geo Tour or the Great Parks Geo Tour, if you're asking which one is nicer, I'd probably say the Great Parks. It took you to a lot more variety of locations. It took you on a wider swath. And you got to see some really nice parks. And you also, as part of that Geo Tour, you find Ohio's oldest cache, or what is contested as Ohio's oldest cache. I'm not going to get into that. as Mrs. Landmonkey said, how can that be a something that you would contest? It either is or it isn't. the Earth Cache Geo Tour. It was different. So if you're a hardcore Earth Cacher, you're probably going to look at this Earth Cache Geo Tour and scratch your head a little bit and go, really?
Landmonkey, you're being very polite and I appreciate that. Let me say, if you've done an Earth Cache before, these are incredibly easy.
They are. And this is where I was going with it, is it's designed, it's called the Earth Cache 101 Geo Tour. It's designed to get people into Earth Caching. It is a very low barrier to entry into Earth Caching. And so keeping that in mind, about half the Earth Caches, I was kind of like, eh, okay, whatever. But the other half were actually kind of interesting. At least they took me to really interesting parts. There is a fossil bed just immediately outside of the city of Cincinnati. I had no idea it was there. It was an opportunity to go there and discover that. So that was cool. I got to say, though, one of the other things of how did they get some of these published? And again, if you're a guy or a girl who has put out a few Earth Caches and you've experience the fun and challenge that can be getting an Earth Cache published. Some of these, I was scratching my head on how the heck they got those published, because there was a couple of situations where the Earth Cache for the Geo Tour was almost immediately on top of an existing Earth Cache on the same topic.
Yeah.
You can't do that. That's against the rules of Earth Caching. So I was like, what are you guys doing? So I don't know why they didn't just adopt the existing Earth Cache into the Earth Cache Geo Tour, but they must have had their reasons.
And yeah, so some of them were questionable. I mean, they had a glacial erratic. And so somebody, you know, I talked to them later and they go, oh, so glacial erratics are back in play. I've got a few I want to put in. I said, go for it. Give it a shot.
Give it a shot. You're mean.
So, you know, I appreciate the 101 aspect of this. And GSM times 2 said they were designed at a junior high level intentionally.
Yeah.
And I like the 101 intentionality. You know, I've done a few Earth Caches. I have an Earth Cache, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'll give you that. I have a story to tell, and I'll probably wait till another podcast to tell it about trying to return home. But I was able to go with a couple of cachers from the area to another Earth Cache, the Ancient History of Ohio, bedrock of our community.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a fossil bed there on a hillside, unlike I have ever seen before. And I was blown away, but we'll talk about that another time. I just wanted to let you know there's some serious fossils in Ohio. I grew up there and I had no idea.
That's fascinating. Awesome. Well, you know, we've run pretty long. We've talked about a lot of the stuff from our experiences going to Ohio for GigasTalk. So it's probably time to start to wrap things up. Looks like we lost Wit's End.
Oh, bummer.
Hopefully he'll join us back.
Hopefully he got home.
Yeah. Maybe he'll join us from his studio as we go into the after show. But, you know, folks, if you've got thoughts or opinions about GigaStock or augmented reality or hidden creatures, you know, tweet it out to us. We love to hear what you guys have to say, or, you know, Facebook or whatever. Share with us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you guys on what you think.
Definitely. So, thanks for sticking with us. We realize this is a longer show than normal, but we want to let you know we've got a few episodes coming up that you may be interested in. Next week, we're going to talk about the Spokane Geocoin Challenge with Hookout Lisa and Kid Vegas 19. After that, we're talking about the Sidetracked series of caches with Subway Mark. And, you know, if it's got to do with trains, Subway Mark is all over it.
Yeah, he is. All right. Well, and with that, we also want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, and worldcaching.com. Folks, if you want to know more about supporting this show, make sure you click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. And as we do every week, here's our shout out to all of our patrons. B Pendragon, Broncos Fan for Life, Sprouter, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Dormore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Akerdoc, OBX, Geekly Robson, Nyes Antaeus, Keats 94, and Curiosity Girl. Thank you all.
Yes. And if somebody wanted to find out more about Land Monkey, where would they go throughout the week? I mean, they can come back here next Thursday and find out more things, and you're probably comfortable sharing.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to find out more, buy me lunch at work and, I'll chat with you for half an hour.
Great. You can find me on,
seriously though. Twitter, Instagram, Periscope's probably where we're most active, at LandMonkeyGC. The website's landmonkey.blogspot.ca, and, YouTube. Hey, new video came out this week on YouTube. We took you to Niagara Falls. So yeah, Land Monkey, LANMONKEY on YouTube.
Land Monkey?
Yo.
Videos come out on YouTube every second.
Yes. Well, a video from us came out.
Okay. If you're looking for, say, me, you know, you can always buy me lunch too. Do I look like I skip lunch? head on over to facebook.com/cashingnw or twitter.com/cashingnw. You can always head on over to cashingnw.com/hosts, read our bios, and find all those special links.
Awesome. Well, folks, thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Remember that you can be a part of the show by calling 253-693-CASH. Comment, asking questions, or helping us manage our kids for any time of the day or night. Of course, feedback@cashingnw.com. Your support helps to keep quality shows coming. So if you like the show, please click that Patreon link on the cashingnw.com website and subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. The show is produced by Chris Bauer and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris Day and Jim Pollitt. The show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license copy. All right, all right, all right, by Chris Bauer. Now, stay tuned for
There you have it. Did you hear it? I didn't hear it.
Oh, you're really hot.
I shouldn't be. Nothing's changed. Except Google.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That was
Sorry about that. Yeah. I'm finding out as I go from sound effect to voice, Google's changing my volumes trying to compensate.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that wonderful of them? They're very helpful, those Googles. Okay. I want to keep the after show short since Land Monkeys are Brylang's already done the Land Monkey chair. They're in the
Brylang
in the chat. Keats Morton Keats 94 said, I've just spoiled your secret identity right out to the world. Sorry. Is venturing back to the East Coast. If you have any TBs or GCs wanting to go there, what's a GC? Geocache?
I think he means geocoins.
Geocoins. Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Those are geocoins.
Come to his event June 24th from 5 to 5:45 on beautiful Burnaby Mountain in Burnaby, BC.
There you go, just outside of Vancouver. All right. We also had a hashtag Fatas from IHAM. He said he just realized that Buckland isn't on camera anymore. Well, he is. He is. He's back here. We've slowly been shuffling some things around here, but yeah, Buckland's still here. He's still in the studio, keeping an eye on things.
Yeah. You're shuffling bears.
Yes.
You've got quite the strong hands to be able to shuffle bears.
You got to have a good hand to have a bear shuffle. Mm. Every day I'm shuffling.
I bet you are. Brylang says, can we throw out the can of beans? Hashtag confess your unpopular opinion.
I'm reserving my opinion about the can of beans.
Yeah. You know, the can of beans, I think, is this originally was going to be the last appearance, but he's heading off to Europe somewhere to do one last can of beans.
So this
appearance,
is,
and then like, it's done stone. Forever. Yeah. This is the farewell tour.
the last farewell tour ever. We mean it this time. Okay.
We'll see. If you were a VIP member or VIP, what? For the Geo Woodstock.
Attendee.
Yeah. There you go. You got a 3D coin. They called it a coin, but it's a 3D printed can of beans.
Yeah.
That was digitally scanned and then, you know, cast into something.
Aluminum or something.
Aluminum or pewter or tin. I don't know what it was.
I'm laughing about this. Oh, go ahead. Finish your story and then I'll tell my story.
Well, there was a rusted version and a gold version you could also go buy. Each one is uniquely trackable.
It was. Absolutely. So we did, us monkeys attended as a VIP attendee to the Giga Stock, which was awesome. And so we did get that trackable. Funny story, I had not unwrapped. So it came wrapped in like a little bit of bubble wrap. It was well protected and everything. I had not unwrapped it when we traveled home. So here we are at the airport going through security. Oh, there you go. There's the trackable sitting on top of the OCB box. So this is a rather heavy cylinder is what this thing is. And like I said, so we're going through security in the airport and they pull me aside with my bag. They said, and they open it up and they pull this bubble wrapped, you know,
cylinder out.
And, what is this? So I'm like, crap, how do I explain what this is?
It's a challenge coin shaped like a can of beans.
Which is exactly where I went, because what I have learned over time is with people in law enforcement and security, they know what challenge coins are. So yeah, I went with challenge coin and I got this sort of head cocked. I said, shaped as a can of beans. And they just sort of shrugged their shoulders and said, okay, put it back.
I never thought about that going through the airport. It's like, yeah, that I didn't get questioned at all. In fact, going back through security, you know, sometimes you get good lines. Sometimes you get, you know, take everything off. Going back through, don't take your laptops out. Don't take your shoes off. Just walk on through. Really?
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting.
Never lie to law enforcement officers as GSM at times two. So I completely agree. It doesn't lead anywhere good.
You're better off to stumble trying to explain what geocaching is than to make up a story about what you're doing.
Yeah. So, you know, but finding the right words, challenge coins rather than geo coins, is so much easier.
Well, and if you say coins, which I have said before, I have said in an early experience, had said trackable coin, and they're thinking currency, and they're thinking some sort of special currency, like of large monetary value.
Right.
And so, yeah, that didn't help either. So yes, challenge coins is the key phrase to know. All right.
Keepers of the cash flow has a fatas. Sass Cash makes fantastic sandwiches. She's my keeper. See what I did there?
Nice.
Nice.
Keepers of the cash flow had another hashtag Patassa. Oh, this is when we were talking about snow in Alberta. It said Alberta has recorded snow on every day of the year historically. Swan Hills, near where they are, has had enough snow on Canada Day that pictures show snowmobilers at the store shopping. So taking their snowmobiles to go shopping at the store. That's crazy.
That's in June. Wow.
July.
That's July 1st. Canada July 1st. You're right. Wow. So that's like July 32nd or June 32nd?
Yeah.
It's June 31st.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Wow. Keepers of the Cash Flow says bring Muggle cards with you to help explain. That would be a good idea.
Just remove them from your pocket very slowly.
Yes. Don't reach in quickly to anything. I'm just saying. Oh, guys, good show. Thank you so much for all of you who stuck through the with us. And we really appreciate it. We want to tell you, come back next week. Listen to more about caching in the Northwest. But until next week, we want you to get out and actually go caching in the Northwest. Good night, all.
Night, folks.